Well, good morning, good morning, good morning. It is time now for our Community Connection right here on K1, the one you trust. And, of course, brought to you by Arnold Moore and Niekamp Funeral Home, Tallgrass Motors, and powered on Facebook Live by our good friends at Arvest. And we have His Honor the Mayor.
Good morning, Tom.
How you doing there, Dale Copeland?
Well, I'm good, as long as you wear a coat.
Yeah, it's fresh. Hey, do we have to get Keith Henry and the crews out there? I hear we might have snow in the air.
It's a great time to put down asphalt.
Yes, or not. We're going to be getting into that asphalt here in a little bit. But first of all, welcome back. It's been a while.
Thank you.
I understand we have some openings on our boards and committees and commissions and authorities. Oh, my.
We always do. It's a rotating thing, but there's some 250-plus positions, so there's usually something open. Right now, Tom, we've got two openings on the Ambulance Commission. That one meets irregularly. One opening on the City Planning Commission, which is very important. One opening on Construction and Fire Code Appeals, and two openings on the White Rose Cemetery. Mm-hmm. And each of those serves a valuable purpose. We always ask people to go to cityofbartlesville.org. You can get an app, fill out an app, submit an app, or you can go by City Hall up on the second floor, City Manager's Office. Ms. Elaine Baines can get you taken care of. We'd love to have people sign up for that.
And we've got some road work going on, I hear.
Oh, you hear. I hear.
I bet you do.
We do. This was part, Hillcrest is what we're speaking of here. Hillcrest Drive from 20th Street, just past the high school. I think of it as going south. It actually bears southeast down to the river. That is going to be completely replaced. Totally new roadbed to the right-hand side if you're going south, off to the southwest. New complete road being built, 12-foot drive lanes, shoulders, properly sloped. It reminds me much of what you've seen if you've been out on Bison after that was reconstructed. It will be very similar to that. Mm-hmm. So it'll be extremely improved and better. But the other thing I really like is they're going to leave the old red roadbed there. It's not really that great for a road for vehicles, but for the Pathfinder, for foot traffic, hiking, biking, all those different things. So that will be a tremendous upgrade to the Pathfinder, as well as a great upgrade to Hillcrest. In the meantime, Jim Bonsack always gets credit for this, but the shortest distance between any two points in Bartlesville is under construction. A lot of people use that route up Hillcrest to get into downtown or to the school and so many other things. You don't want to do that right now. There are detours, but that takes you to Hillcrest Heights. Obviously, the people that live in Hillcrest Heights did not anticipate living on a freeway. There are speed humps in there. If you go that way, you got to slow down. Slow, 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 slow. And to help people remember, it will be strictly enforced. So unless you want to contribute, and we really don't want people to contribute to the city's operating fund, you don't want to get in a hurry and get to Hillcrest and get frustrated and do the things that sometimes we tend to do. So pick a different route. It's going to last about a year, maybe less, but the road, the weather, all the pieces that come into that, I'm going to say about a year. But coming out the other side is a great improvement.
Now, when we take a look at the waterline extension along Frank Phillips Boulevard, there's a lot of work going on there, but traffic really hasn't been impeded that much.
Not too bad. They closed the southbound. If you're going eastbound on Frank Phillips there, about the CVS Pharmacy to turn and go south, that lane was closed for safety. Bottlenecked a little bit, but it's not been bad. The crews have done a good job. They had to bore under Highway 75, and it is a large line. Anybody that's been through there, that thing is at least 14, 16 inches in diameter to fit that under Highway 75. Now they're working to go along the south side of Frank Phillips there at CVS, and then they will cross over to the north side of Frank Phillips, where they will then move all the way down to about Robin Wood Park. That will connect to a section that we did previously that comes back almost here to the radio station.
Yeah.
So that water line, I'm guessing, was put in the early, at least the early 60s, probably late 50s when the Pennington Hills area was enlarged and developed. So it's time for it to be replaced, and it will be there for many, many years. But that construction is coming along. I had a little bit of a hiccup getting under the highway. You can imagine trying to bore under that while traffic is still rumbling by and all of the bits and pieces, but they got that done, so we're making progress.
Also, we had Alan Jentz's, get fitted for a nice robe.
Yes.
And that has left a vacancy on the council. How are we going?
I haven't seen Alan in his robe, but I'm sure that it fits quite nicely.
Quite stunningly, I've heard.
I have heard that he is doing a tremendous job as our new municipal judge, but obviously that left a vacancy on the city council when he stepped away from the Ward 4 seat and vice mayor to put his name in the hat for that. And he was selected and will be great, has been great at that. Mm-hmm. It left us with a vacancy in Ward 4 to fill, and so that's always a challenge. The way our city charter is written, the city council will then select a replacement, and that's about all it says. It does not go into great detail about how that replacement would be selected. Mm-hmm. Our practice, like it was for the municipal judge, is to ask for applications. You certainly don't want to pick somebody that's not interested. So we had a really good, I think, a tremendous response. Seven people submitted their names and information to be considered for the Ward 4 seat, which was tremendous. There's Ward 4 runs basically from Highway 75 west to the city limits. Mm-hmm. It includes Oak Park, the north end of town above the hospital, all the way down to Adams, and then actually dips down the river down to where it intersects with Shawnee. So there's a little bit of a deal there. You have to balance numbers to get the same number of voters in each ward. But a large ward, it's important to be represented, and we had seven people. We did interviews a little over a week ago. That was an intense thing. Some of the people you know to some degree, other people perhaps you don't, and you spend time with each of them trying to learn about them and try to figure out and make a decision of who would be a really good choice. They would all be good. They're all good people. They're all interested. But who would be a good choice to serve on the city council to represent approximately 7,000 voters in Ward 4? So we have that task ahead of us. I'll be honest with you, Tom. I'd much rather the voters got to make that decision, but it's the way the charter is written. We will probably, that has not been locked down, we will probably have a city council meeting anytime from late this week to early next week. My anticipation is that we will have that discussion. Everyone will share their opinions and their thoughts and observations, and then we will make the difficult decision to select a council representative from Ward 4. The goal is to have that person to be seated at the May 3rd meeting. At May 3rd, that's when I came on the council. When I was first elected, that was normal at that time. The charter changed and we went to a different election cycle. But you get seated the 1st of May and they say congratulations, and then they hand you this book that's about this thick and say, here is your budget book. Enjoy. So that you can go home and everything you don't know about the city, how many rolls of paper towels and what does city water department do versus the police department, the fire department, and how much is personnel and what about equipment and capital funds, all those very important pieces of a government with a large budget and 300 plus employees is handed to you in a very thick book, and that's how you get up to speed. So whomever I don't know if wins or is successful, but whomever is chosen for this, that will be one of the first very important tasks that they will have, like the rest of us, is to look at that new budget. It's what guides our city. It guides our staff. So that's coming up. Hopefully we'll get a decision made, get that handled, and move forward with city business.
We've got a take-back day coming up. This involves prescription drugs.
Yes. I don't have all the details. I tell people you go to cityofbartlesville.org or, and I'm going to throw in a plug here, Kelly Williams does just an amazing job with City Beat. Now, Tom, the radio station is great. All of our local media does a tremendous job getting out the message. But once a week, usually on a Tuesday afternoon, Kelly puts out this little newsletter called City Beat, and it is solely focused on things happening in the city, questions, and a lot of the things she picks come from questions that come in. Mm-hmm. When she starts seeing a lot of questions about the water line or Hillcrest or whatever, she will address that, and Bricktown Brewery, all the Popeyes, all these questions come up. What's going on? Why is there equipment there? Why isn't that? And she does a terrific job. There's a lot of detail available there that will be out later today. But basically, yeah, we've done this before, and it's worked really, really well. You can take any medication. When you go to your cabinet, there may be stuff in there from the 90s. And you just didn't take all, well, for some of us, maybe not for others, but you didn't take all of it. It was expensive, so you want to keep it just in case. Well, now you realize that perhaps it'd be wise not to have that. Well, what do you do with it? They don't want you to flush it down the toilet. We don't want it going into our water stream. So here is a safe way that children or someone with bad intent, perhaps, does not come into possession. It's a safety issue by every measure. You can take that to the downtown police station. You can take that to the fire stations on Madison and Price Road. So those three locations are kind of scattered around the city. This will be on Saturday the 24th. So it's coming up. People can plan now in another 4 or 5 days. From 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., they will have staffing there. And it's just a container. And you take it in and you drop it. Now, I'm not going to, this is not all inclusive, but they don't want things with needles.
No.
They don't want illegal things. And so any of that sort of thing, the police want to get that off the street, but they do not want it in the drop-off.
That's not where you want to put it.
you could talk to an officer, and they would certainly help you take care of that. Mm-hmm. But this is anything from over-the-counter, prescription. But you look at it. My wife, for instance, we've been cleaning out cabinets, and she came across something that had an expired date in like 97.
Oh.
So we figured we're going to have to let that go. It's stuff in the back of the cabinet. And so you just create a little bag, walk in, dump it. They will not ask questions. There's no ID. They're not trying to catch anyone. Mm-hmm. They just want to get these things off the street, out of your cabinets. So Saturday the 24th, 10 in the morning till 2 in the afternoon, police station downtown. Easy to park on Saturday downtown.
Yeah.
Police station there by the library. Fire station on Madison. If you're going to the grocery store, just swing by the fire station and drop it off. And then Madison out by Sooner Park will be the three drop locations. So, and tell friends, tell your neighbors. If you have elderly parents, all those different things, help them remember that. I know I went into my parents' house and the cabinets are just full of stuff that's accumulated over the years. And get rid of that. Also found that certain bottles that were mixed in were perhaps for the pets. So you sometimes want to, it's just a safety thing. We want people to be safe.
Yeah, indeed. Recycle center. I got to tell you, you got to be safe when you recycle.
Recycling is an amazing thing to do. And so many people in Bartlesville are committed to recycling. And it is a wonderful thing. Let's take that cardboard, let's take that plastic, and let's put it back into the production stream and reuse it. Let's not put it into our landfill out west of town where it will be for the next 100 or million years. It just makes good sense. And it also can save money. It saves the environment. Great all the way around. And I think a lot of folks really have good intentions on this. The problem, good intentions don't always totally address the issue. So I can have good intentions, but if I don't do things properly, it really doesn't succeed, and in some cases does harm. So people say, why is our recycling center north of the White Rose Cemetery there off Virginia, why is that closed? I have recycling. I need to get it out of my garage, whatever. Well, we only have so much capacity there. We have nowhere to store it, and once that's full, it's full. What we do is load it up, those big haul-offs, drive them to Tulsa to the processing center, where we can deposit it. Now, on an annual basis, the city loses money on that process, but we feel like recycling is important, and so the city provides that service. They had a fire, a major fire, I'm told, at the processing center in Tulsa. Latest reports I read said that was, they believe, the result of a lithium-ion battery. Now, that's those little batteries that are in your phones, they're in your iPads, they're in all of your devices. They're everywhere. They do a great job, but they were never meant to be crushed or shredded, and the same reason they don't like them on airplanes, if you recall that story from a few years ago, Tom, they don't like them in their processing equipment, and they believe that one of those somehow mistakenly, and you can imagine how small they are, they believe one of those got into the trash stream and just set off this chain of events that has shut down their processing center. They're doing a major piece-by-piece evaluation of that entire center to see what was damaged, what needs repair. Until they do that, we have nowhere to take our recycling. So City Manager Mike Bailey has commented, and I will reinforce, you cannot take your recycling to our drop-off and see the gate closed and just dump it at the gate. We have laws against littering. And anyone who does that will be pursued and addressed to the fullest extent of the law. We have laws against littering, and we support recycling, but you cannot just dump your stuff at the gate and drive away. That has happened, sadly. We're going to get this back online just as quick as we can, but we can't receive it if we have nowhere to take it. We're just a collection center, not a processing center. I also would use this time, if I could, Tom, be very, very careful. I really like the idea of recycling, but my classic example, a pizza box with cheese and sauce on it is not recyclable. In fact, it contaminates the bin you throw it in. A piece of cardboard with a board staple to it contaminates. So clean recyclables, properly sorted, is wonderful. Recyclables that are just tossed in willy-nilly and are contaminated contaminates the whole stream and really damages that. China began to refuse our recycling that was not, I believe it was 99.5% clean. They just said, we don't take this anymore, and it has created a problem and driven values down. So to make this work, we all have to work together. And we can do that, but I think the more we publicize it and help people understand, probably ought to put the pizza box in the trash.
Yep.
So yep. That's the big story on that. Hopefully we'll get that open soon, but we are waiting on Tulsa.
And speaking of, well, a different kind of trash, we're talking about debris.
Yep.
Well, we've got that coming up here, too.
Free yard debris. I've been working in my yard. It's hard to do it today. In fact, I just looked out and saw a little flake float by, Tom. won't be working in the yard today. But people are dethatching, they're scalping, they're raking, they're cleaning up, getting ready for a spring that is a bit delayed today. The city will pick that up free of charge. You do not need special tags. You do not need special bags. We do ask, like the recycling, that it be correctly done, which means yard debris, leaves, grass, all of that stuff that comes off your yard after the wintertime. You can bag it up, put it at the curb. If you have limbs and sticks, cut those to no more than 4 feet long and no more than 50 pounds a bundle. We have to have something that our workers can pick up properly. But those can be cut and bundled. You put them at the curb. They're going to pick them up the same day that they pick up your trash. So if you're a Monday or a Thursday or Tuesday or Friday, just put them out that same day with your polycart. Do not put them on the polycart. Do not put them up against the polycart. I don't know. We kind of like organization and structure and putting things in a certain pattern. The machines, the automated trucks, are going to pick up the polycarts. They cannot do that with your debris. So put them at the curb some distance, 6, 8, 10 feet away, and just leave them there. If they don't get them when they get your polycart, don't freak out. There'll be another truck, usually a rear load packer, will come by and get that stuff. Maybe before your polycart, maybe after. But that will run coming up pretty quick. My date's here, May the 3rd. Through May the 7th, whatever your day is. May the 3rd is a Monday, so you got to pick your day, put that stuff out at the same time. They will get it. If you have lots of it, we have some neighborhoods that I think the record is still around 160 bags.
Oh, we're not there yet.
Okay. But
maybe 20.
They might not get all that in one pass.
Don't get nervous.
They might have to come back. But it's free. I think that's the key word. It's free. It's a great way to clean up your yard. And take care of that. You don't have to drive to the dump or anything else.
Mayor Dale Copeland, one last thing. How are we doing on COVID? I don't know if you have the numbers here or a ballpark. And how are we with protocols and stuff like that in city buildings and what
I think overall we're doing very, very well. The nation as a whole is doing well, Tom. Without a question, Bartlesville is doing better than nationally, and that is a blessing. We continue. We're going to let that, I suspect. I can't speak for everything, but it's my full expectation that the city restrictions on city buildings, wearing a mask inside the city buildings, will expire May the 3rd when it was set to. So that will still have a little over a week to go. I notice other communities around the state and around the nation are doing the same thing. And all of that is based on the fact, two facts really. One, many, many more people are getting the different vaccinations, whether it's Pfizer, Moderna, Johnson & Johnson. And secondly, unfortunately, more and more people have experienced COVID-19 and have developed their immunity in that method. So as those numbers climb to what was called herd immunity, whatever that means, you'll get different answers from different people. But certainly more and more people have a protection of sorts against infection. A resistance, certainly. The other part of that is that when we look at the metrics, and they used to do those daily, I know you did. I did every day.
Everybody.
11:30. Click, click, click. What does it
say?
Right
there. Oh, what does it say? What's the numbers, man? Yeah.
And that has been changed to Wednesdays.
Mm-hmm.
It's really frustrating because you're looking, when it first happened, today's zero. Yay. Tomorrow's zero. Yay. Then you get, boom. Well, what happened?
Why?
Well, they put everything on Wednesday. So we'll see tomorrow. Mm-hmm. But the last 2 weeks, the numbers have declined to the point that that color scale has moved us back into the yellow, which is 14 point something.
Mm-hmm.
It simply means that we have to have less than 7 cases a day on average to stay in yellow. Now we get to green at a lower number, but after that period from November, for us to sink back, we have numbers, depending on which numbers you look at, that are lower than they've been since October, mm-hmm. perhaps as far back in some cases as July. So I really feel like that there's talk of other variants and there's all this other, but the reality that we can measure is Bartlesville is improving and we feel like we're moving back toward normalcy, and hopefully this will just continue.
Mayor Dale Copeland, thank you very much for being our guest today.
Thank you.
All right, we've got more coming up right here on K1.